This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Shipt same-day delivery gives you more time for what you actually want to do this winter, like rushing it at the gym or cranking up the oven to bake your heart out. Learn more at shipt.com/winter. That's shipt.com/winter.
Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
You are watching and listening to Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube
and your favorite podcasts.
Till I Die TV, your first choice for everything Leicester City. Tune in and join in now.
And now, here's your host.
All right, Chris.
All right, Chunkies, good evening. There he is. How the devil are you? He's back. I got him working. He's had a very long holiday, but my little friend Dan the Devil is back. So good afternoon to him as well. How are we all? Well, the natives are getting restless, methinks. Not just in the East Midlands, in the Northwest and a few other places as well. But we've got all that to come. I just wanted to give a shout out, if you don't mind, taking up a bit of your time just to announce this. Tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, we have the prediction show. Now, normally every week that is Steve Linex, but the Lucky Devil's gone on holiday for a couple of weeks, so Jerry Taggart has very, very kindly agreed to step in tomorrow night and probably put me to more shame than I already am, being bottom of that league, because he won the X Foxes League last season. So he kind of knows a thing or two, doesn't he, Jerry? But he will be in. But what I would like to say is, please give him some support. Well, give his wife some support. Give him 10 days rest. And he said that, not me. His wife, his sister-in-law and Cyril Regis's wife are trekking Machu Picchu. Now, to me, I've got to be honest with you, that sounds like one of the Pokemon characters. I don't know where it is, but it involves trekking, so I'm sweating just thinking about it. But they are raising money for the Cyril Regis Legacy Trust. Now, I know what you're going to say. Cyril Regis, he was a West Brom fan, blah, blah, blah. Look, things like this, don't wear shirt colours. They don't wear team crests. It is for underprivileged kids. He's at 52% of the target he wants to get to. Please, please, give him your support. If it's only a fiver or a tenner, it all adds up. There's a lot of little donations in there. I did it the other day, and I knocked the tax off, and I did all that as well to just give him a little bit extra. But I can't say. Maybe because I've got four kids, I don't know. But let's give the guy, his wife, some support. He's very good. He shows the channel a lot of support. So let's give him some support as well. Blue Podcast was in. Good evening, sir. How are you? Scott is here, as always. Scotty, how are you? Hope you are all well. What have I just read on Sky Sports News? Very worrying about Fofana. I don't know. What have you read on Sky Sports News? You know, I mean, we're not exactly having a great weekend at the moment, Scott. Are you giving us... You are the bringer of bad news, are you? Let's have a look at what they're saying about Fofana. Unsettled Fofana feels Leicester pricey amount of Chelsea move. Yeah, he did all this at St Etienne, didn't he? He's on a 5-year contract. He's going nowhere unless we want to sell him, and that's the end of it. Anyway, I've got a couple of guests in with me today. First of all, you'll all know her. Louise, good evening. Hope you're feeling a lot better than you were.
I am, yes, thank you. Good evening, everybody, and let's hope for a good show.
Yep, indeed. And, well, if you don't recognise the face, you'll probably recognise the voice from many, many Leicester City shows on Radio Leicester. He's now on Home and Teach FM. John Sinclair, good evening, sir, and welcome along for your first show.
Yes, good evening. Nice to be here. Just wish it was under slightly better circumstances after Saturday, but there you go.
Yes, yeah. We will come to that. We can't avoid it. And the funny thing is, actually, talking about the match, tonight at 9 o'clock following this show, I'm having a chat with Lee Judges, who is off Arsenal Fan TV, AFTV, and talking to us about Tielemans, his love or not so much love of Arteta, and obviously the game itself. But let's get in, and we'll always do the news first of all. Louise, you and me, we did a lot of European football for the women's this summer.
Yeah.
And you know, you've been following it a lot longer than I have. I'm sort of late to the party. I got into it sort of now, and I enjoyed it. I absolutely was. I was taken by it totally. I'm going to be doing a show next year, after this show on a Monday night. We're going to be doing the review show. And then we got Graham Souness. I mean, do these people not sort of put their brain into gear before they open their mouth? But he says he does not regret describing football as a man's game.
I kind of feel a little bit two-sided by it, because I don't think he's meant to be disrespectful to the women's game when he said it. But at the end of the day, he was. You do know what I mean? I don't think he said it out of malice or disrespect. Or at least I hope not.
No.
You know, I don't know the guy, obviously. So I can't say what his kind of thoughts are, but it's really disappointing that on national TV he's come out and said that. And like I said, I don't think he's meant it how it's been taken. But there's just no thought there to those words and what they actually mean, especially after the summer.
Yeah, I guess it's a matter of context as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, and that's what I say. I don't think he's meant to be disrespectful, but then when people have pointed it out, he's also doubled down on it. You know, he's not come out and said that's not what I meant. I didn't mean to be disrespectful to the women's game or whatever. So maybe that is exactly what he meant. Because if it wasn't, then he should have come out afterwards and said that's not what I meant. I just meant, you know, it's a man's game. As in, you are putting tackles in. It's rough and tumble. Which is not what he's done.
But John, I mean, I agree with Lewington totally. Pundits are paid to be controversial. Pundits, they're almost, radio hosts, me doing this on this channel, we say things sometimes to gauge reaction, and yet I get what he means, you know, about I watch ITV4, the big match revisited. My God, some of those games were taking chunks out of each other. But I just, like you say, he had the chance to double down on it. And you just can't say these days what you used to be able to say years ago.
No, I think he's a bit old school, isn't he? And perhaps, you know, a comment like that a few years ago, nobody would have blinked. But the times have changed big time. You know, look at what happened over the summer. We all went for it. I was at the Leicester City game when the final was on. We all went downstairs, crowd of us around the TV, celebrating like everybody else. You know, and that has put the women's game to the fore. Me and my wife are talking about going to watch Leicester City women this season. And I think everybody else is really turned on to it. I just think, it was something that he would have said years ago, he got away with it, but now we can't. And, you know, he should have apologised and made an excuse of some sort, but, you know, no excuse really, is there?
I think also, though, the men's game has changed. You know, it's not like those games on, you know, Match of the Day Revisited. The game isn't like that anymore. So even from the men's side, he's wrong. Or, you know, living in the past. And that's why I think he does a lot. Like, obviously, as an ex-player, he thinks that they play the same, and the game's changed beyond recognition from that. You know, in some ways good and some ways bad, but it's not going back to that.
But as words and pictures... Sorry, John, but as words and pictures say there, you know, women spent weeks during the tournament saying how the women's game is played in the female way and attacked men's football for being aggressive. Just get a grip. Totally, again, see it from that point of view. I think there is too much wokeness, but things that I would say to my mate sat here when I'm off camera are completely different to what I would say on camera. And you do have to think about it. And if somebody then approaches you, John, as a journalist and says, what did you actually mean by that? You know, are you sorry you said it? You could in some way explain it, or at least all apologise if it came over that way.
Well, also, most in the studio now, you've got women pundits as well as men. They should be apologising to maybe a colleague in the studio, never mind about the audience.
No, it's true, but it is the woke society we live in. It is old school. It's changing, but we said this during the summer, Lou. It's going to be a slow process, but I, you know, it's just a little bit. You've got to think these days what you say, you know.
Yeah.
Kate's in the house, so we better watch it. You, Kate, how the devil are you? I hope you're well, Kate, and had a good weekend. I believe you at the Blackpool Air Show. Not that I'm stalking you, but your picture did come up on my Twitter feed. Either that, or you've got an extremely good display over there in Burnley. I'm not sure. Words and pictures, double standards, women celebrating women for being women for weeks on end. No one asked them to apologise. I mean, we're getting into a whole different conversation
while we were doing it.
Yeah. I can see there's a minefield opening up in front of me here. So I think we are best. We live in a very different world these days. I actually, I write for the BBC, and every Tuesday I have a blog, Tuesday Talking Point, on the BBC Leicester City page. Check it out tomorrow. It is a bit explosive. But I did 3 drafts before I was happy to send it off, because I'm thinking, like, how can that be taken? And there'll still be something in there that, you know, that will upset somebody, no doubt. Kate says, remember to give the man a sub and give a thumbs up. All helps with growth. It does indeed. And if you're a fan of Championship football, Burnley, well, Turf Moor House TV, covering Burnley, get over there now. Dan, he puts a lot of work into that as well. He eats a lot of very strange things as well for our enjoyment. So get over there and give him your support as well. John, come to you first with this one. Is there any excuse for managers fighting after a match?
I don't think it was fighting. I think if it was a matter of he wouldn't look him in the eye when he shook his hand, and so he held on to his hand. It was all a bit shenanigans, and he played it down afterwards. They didn't actually fight, they were more in each other's faces, and it just so nothing actually had. Okay, they got red cards, they got yellow cards before, but I thought it was, Tuchel came over quite well after saying, you know, it was all part of the event. It was quite fun to watch, to be honest, you know. I did enjoy watching
it. Well, yeah, yeah. I don't know how I wanted to come out.
It showed an energy and passion about the team, so, you know, and they'll miss the game as a result. But, you know, I don't think it was over the top, because they didn't actually come to blows. Where I think they were just in each other's spaces.
Yeah. Your sound is breaking up quite badly.
Well, I can't hear you very well either.
Oh, well, it's probably just the connection. How are you doing, Luke? Can you hear us both?
I can hear you, but it is crackling.
Yeah, it
is. And I can hear myself as well.
Am I crackly or...?
Yeah,
just all over.
Right. Fingers crossed. Oh, and Louise has got. She's had enough. words and pictures. Give the man a sub. Use man a sexist comment. Then it's not because I'm a man. So she was talking about me and my channel. But look, we're not going to please everybody on this. Do you remember, John? I'm sure you do. A certain match between Leicester and Arsenal. It ended 3-3 at Filbert Street.
I was commentating on that.
What a game!
It was 2-1 when we equalised, and then you know they went down the other end and made it 3-2, and then Walsh put in. So I think it was non-stop commentary for about 5 or 6 minutes without my co-commentator Neville Folger saying anything.
But at the end of that game, of course, Steve Walsh.
So it was actually a game I can't really forget.
Yeah. But at the end of that game, Steve Walsh and Ian Wright did go head to head as well. And yeah. I spoke to Steve last year about this, and I said, would you have really attacked him? And he said, I mean, the Arsenal players were holding him back, the Leicester players were holding me. He said, 9 times out of 10, if there weren't players holding you back, you'd probably be changing your underwear. Because you rely on them doing that. So it's half an hour late, we're having a drink in the bar. But it just doesn't set a good example, does it, Lou? And it's the managers. It shows passion.
No.
It was a great game, but I just don't know.
If you're asking your players to be professional, you need to be the same. And that's not professional, however you look at it. I've heard a lot of people saying, well, you know, it's passion, which I can completely get behind. But there's better ways of showing your passion. You know, neither team, you know, have really got any worries. Second game of the season. If we're, you know, halfway through and one of them was going to go down or something, and one was going to get top four and one wasn't, then you'd understand it. But it's an average game, you know, it's not a crunch game. I don't think it's ideal at all. And I don't think it should be applauded either. Like, that's not professional.
No. And you expect, you know, how can the managers go and have a go at a player for being sent off for doing it when they are doing it? And let's not forget the scenes at the end of the Chelsea game against Tottenham when we won the title as well. There's a video here of Tuchel afterwards, he's smiling and what have you. It was ridiculous over the fact that he didn't look him in the eye. I mean, come on, you know. I just think it doesn't, you know. But then again, we complain, do we not, if we have a manager like a Brendan or Puel who doesn't exactly go mad at the thing.
People might complain, I don't. You don't go into your job and say exactly what you want and start facing up with people because they don't do what you want them to do. Like, who do you expect a professional football manager paying millions a year to do the same, to not do the same? It's not like Dennis Wise whacks somebody and doesn't expect to lose his job. No, if I go into work and I whack someone, I'm going to lose my job. So should you. Right?
Yes. I mean, again, it is a nest of vipers that we were opening tonight. We've lost John, but at least I think we found out where the crackling was, because he's gone now. So sorry, John, if you come back in, and he is coming back. He's here. Talk of the devil. Hello, sir.
Hello, I was getting echo all around, so I put my headphones in now so I can hear properly.
The crackling is definitely gone.
Yeah, that's good, yes.
Yeah. I'm Chris, aren't I? As Kay says there, supporters and haters, difference of opinion is fine, slating someone is not. It's all about opinions, is football, and we've just got to remember that we sometimes take it too far, everybody I think does it at times, especially sort of if it's a game that a lot is relying on. The other thing is Leicester news now. I'm not sorry in the way he's gone out on loan, because I can't pronounce his name. Stolchek, is it? Stolchark or something like that. He's gone out on loan to Fleetwood for the season, which I guess, explains, why we've got Smithers in. So come to you, John, as you come back in. I mean, I suppose he will get more time. Did we need? I know. Brendan likes a third goalkeeper. Did we need a third goalkeeper?
Yeah, I think he's just making up the numbers. Obviously, Schmeichel going was a big loss, but I think players going out on loan is probably good for them and the club, because they offload a bit of money. But it gives the player going out some experience of playing at lower levels, and we've seen Leicester players go out before and come back stronger. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all, really.
No. And Lou, were you completely underwhelmed by Smithers?
I think he's frozen.
Hello, Lou? We are having a... Hello?
No, I think the picture's frozen. I can't see him moving at all.
I can see him. I'm not sure.
Yes and no, I think. It's really difficult, I think.
I mean, we only saw Djupovic, I think, once in about 4 years in goal, so I don't think we're going to see him a lot. We're playing like in and out tonight. We'll be shaking it about in a minute. But John,
before I know it, I'll be hosting the programme.
Yes, you will. If I disappear, just take over. We've got thunderstorms everywhere tonight, I think. So I think that could be dew tonight. So I think possibly the build up of that isn't helping. But we hardly saw Djupovic, did we?
Well, yeah, because Schmeichel. Played almost every game, and we only saw the reserve keeper usually when we went into cup games, so it's kind of what we're used to, really. And I think it's probably tough if you're down the order, but if you go out alone, there's a chance, as I say, to get more games.
Yes, and at the end of the day, Lou, I mean, if the worst was to happen, we know Danny Ward's only just come back from an injury, and then Everson has to stand up, we would need a backup then, and I'm sure that he'll be on a lot less money than Casper was. As Lou,
very much so, and I think the problem is, isn't it?
No, you've gone again, Lou.
You've got to keep a squad of players happy.
Yeah. I suppose he's coming in knowing what his position, and she's gone again. he's coming, he knows what his position is, doesn't it? He knows where, in the pecking order and the chances are going to be. And I suppose he's on good, he's got a job for a couple of years.
Well, that's it as well. It's all experience. I can't remember how old he is, but it's about building up experience at that age as well, isn't it?
Well, yeah, Smithers is coming in, he's 32.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, it will give a lot. Well, it's helped Everson out, because he was at Preston last season and got rave reviews.
That's right, yes.
And point here that Andrew says, that which is the next point we're going to say, Vardy to Man United. It's all paper talk, isn't it, John? He's not going
to
go.
Can't see it happening at all, actually. I mean, why would he choose to go there? You know, his family might have something to say about that anyway, but I would imagine he wants to finish his career at Leicester. And looking at Man United, bottom of the table, it's a step backwards, isn't it?
I'm glad you got that in, because as bad as a weekend it was, we could have been a Man United fan, couldn't we?
Exactly, yes.
And Mrs. Vardy won't be allowed in Old Trafford, says Andrew. Well, you know, again, that's another story for us to go at another time, another show. Is anybody else getting a lot of echoes? Rico says he's getting a lot of echoes. Welcome along, Rico. I'm not now. I seem to be okay. I think John's okay as well.
Yeah, the headphones out.
Right, well, let's have a look. The today's show, it's all about looking back at the weekend and the results that that came in, and we start with the Aston Villa Everton game, 2-1. I mean, Everton, I saw them play Chelsea on the TV game the week before, and they looked a really good team. They looked like they'd turn the corner, but again, that was at home, and last season their home form wasn't too bad. It was their away form that killed them.
Yeah, I watched the game. It was I thought they might get a draw out of it towards the end, but they're obviously missing their main striker, and they're having to kind of make do a little bit up front, you might say. But I don't think they had a bad game. I think on reflection, I thought they may have deserved to get a point out of the game. They certainly got back into it in the second half. Villa looking a bit stronger. They'll be pleased to get the home win after defeat on the opening weekend. But it's quite a good game to watch, and perhaps Everton a bit unlucky not to get something out of it.
Well, let's talk about it and get it out of the way. While we're on that one, is this a do or die season for Gerrard? Has he got to do something this season?
I think it's a progression, isn't it? Trying to finish in a higher position than you finished last season. Certainly for Everton, who are, you know, next door to relegation, it's probably, again, looking for improvement. And kind of that's what all fans look for, isn't it? An improvement. When it comes to Leicester, we're all a bit worried whether we're going to see that or not, aren't we? I've now brought Leicester into it already. But it is about seeing progress.
It is. Because I think on Saturday in the next game, Arsenal 4, Leicester City 2. And don't forget, guys, that... that's the wrong one. This one, tonight, 9 o'clock, we've got Lee Judges on from Arsenal Fan TV that will be talking the game. His not so much love for Arteta, and is he fed up with the Tielemans saga as a as an Arsenal fan? I mean... I thought last week when we played Brentford that first 45 minutes, I thought this is Leicester back, because we played really well. Second half and this game, it was a strong words, I suppose, but I was going to say unmitigated disaster. Were we that bad, or did Arsenal, because they're a great team now, they've got some really good signings, they've made progression, like we said, season on season. I mean, you know, they're saying, oh, we've got Manchester City cast-offs. Well, I'll tell you what, if that's their cast-offs, I'll take them any day of the week.
Well, I think it was a Man City fan. You were looking at that and saying, well, that's how we can really play. And he's very strong up front. Obviously got the goals. Perhaps a bit unlucky not to get a hat-trick, actually, on today, wasn't he? But Leicester, you know, I thought they engaged quite well to start with. They started the game quite strong, but... I don't know whether you've been watching the series on Amazon about Arsenal last season. I know.
I'm tempted to.
It's quite interesting, yeah.
Have they just renamed it just Nothing rather than All or Nothing?
Well, no, I think it's a good perspective on the manager, really, as well as the players. But I've been watching that over the week as well. You go there thinking, we haven't got a good record. Can we get something out of it? Can we nick a win? Can we get a draw? When we got back into it at 2-1, I thought, at least, you know, now we've got a chance for a point. But obviously, every time we score, they score a couple of minutes later. And you've got to pay credit to them going forward. As for defensively, it's a bit worrying. You've got this back three that we all think look quite good. Although, should Siyuntu be playing is probably my only question. I'm a bit of a fan of his, I guess, from when he first took over with Johnny Evans. So, Marty against Siyuntu is an interesting one for me.
It is, because, I mean, Marty's been one of those players that you always kind of groaned when you saw his name on the team sheet. But for me, last season, he came into his own. He was called up and he didn't let us down. But he's not a left-sided player in whatever position. And we saw that against Brentford. But was it just that the fans see things that Brendan can't? Because when I saw that team announced to play Arsenal, I'm going like, and Marty again on the left. And I feel sorry for him because I don't think he was particularly a bad player, but he's just been asked to play out of position when we've got a left-footed defender sat on the bench twiddling his thumbs.
Exactly. Going back to the Brentford game, I think it's been mentioned already that we didn't use our subs.
Yeah.
We only used one sub, and that was a sub perhaps we shouldn't have made, if you look at it that way. But obviously, when Nacho came on and obviously made one of the goals, and I've been a bit disappointed that we haven't seen a bit more of him, because we know he's got potential. I know he can be frustrating at the same time, but, you know, he is a decent alternative or a partner for Jamie Vardy. And then you've got Daka as well, so there is a mixture of riches there for the managers to get around. But I think as a game, you know, when it got to 2-1, 3-2, I thought maybe there's a point in it. But let's be honest, Arsenal were just too good.
They were. I mean, credit, I've got them as probably finishing fourth, and I think that, you know, we know whatever happens, they could win the treble this season, and somebody, you know, Arsenal fans won't be happy with Arteta. I went onto an Arsenal channel after the game, and I went, surely you've got to be happy with that performance, four goals. And he went, yeah, but Arteta's game management isn't very good. I'm like, what the bloody hell do you need?
You're second in the table, mate. Yeah. And as for Tielemans, I'm not quite sure why they want to buy him. Not because he's a bad player, but he's not performing great for Leicester. And they've already got quite a good strong midfield. If they buy him, he's probably going to be on the bench anyway, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, Tielemans, I think he obviously doesn't want to stay. He wants to, he likes Arsenal, he wants to go to Arsenal. They were in contact with him when Wenger was there because of the Monaco connection. I mean, last season, I think if this had been this time last season, there would have been people knocking on the door.
Yeah.
But last season, he was asked to play a slightly different role again. Indeed, he was injured, and he was, you know, played further back to sort of help out Mendy. Rodgers didn't trust Mendy. But he had an awful game. He had a stinker. I mean, Arsenal fans were sort of saying, you know, well, there's 20 million knocked off his price, you know. It's getting to a point, and again, you'll see this in my thing tomorrow on the BBC. It's like, just decide what you're doing, because you are bringing the squad down, because we don't know what we can do transfer-wise. We don't know what we're going to need to do. Leicester City need to grow a pair of balls, I think, and actually stand up and say, right, you know, if you don't arrange something with, you know, and get your agent at Arsenal to come up with an offer, at the end of the week, that's it. You're not going, because we're not going to have a chance to replace you. Maguire, same sort of situation. Knowing he wanted to go to Man United, knowing Man United was sniffing around, signed an extension to his contract so we didn't lose out.
Yeah.
And you can easily sign a contract extension and have however many, you know, if it's a top six club, they can talk to me if they're coming for a certain offer. You can put a load of clauses in if you wanted to.
His agent's got a job to do. He's either got to get him out at a good price for Leicester, or he's got to negotiate a new contract with Leicester.
Yes, yes. Do you see him going?
Actually, I don't.
No. I think the longer it goes on, at the end of the day, let's say he doesn't sign the contract to help us out, and I think he'll ruin his legacy a little bit if he does that, for me anyway. But if we keep him for a season, he could, if he gets back on form, he could be the difference between us getting European football and not getting European football. I think it was, 80 odd million we got by getting to the semi-finals of the Conference League. So yeah. If we lose £35 million on getting nothing for him, we'll make more if he helps us get into Europe. So it could be a gamble worth taking. And when it comes to sort of playing poker, Leicester have got a damn good poker face, haven't they?
Well, yeah, because they're in the driving seat at the end of the day. And we've been here before, as you say, with the likes of Maguire and so on. And we're pretty good at the weirdly dealing. We need to do some weirdly dealing because we've got to think about not just about players going out, but possible players coming in, because a refresh would be very nice on the opposition here and there, wouldn't it? And certainly the fans are looking for Leicester to do something. Okay, we've got players out on loan, like Trowdrey and so on, but it's got to free up a bit of money and try and do a bit of business before that deadline ends.
It's worrying. I feel quickly, just before we move on to the next game, Brendan, this is when he's got to earn his money, hasn't he? You know, to me, he's making excuses. He's blaming everybody but himself. He's blaming, the weather was hot, but he only made, like you said, one substitution. Is he losing the dressing room? He doesn't seem to be accepting any responsibility. Now, if these are slight digs at the board, I don't know, but he almost sounds like, you know, when you get the managers that are losing week in, week out, they're in the relegation zone, and they can say, next week we're going to come out. It sounds like he's in a man. It's like he's a manager who's looking over his shoulder.
Yeah, perhaps that might be true. I mean, the way I look at a season, you see, and it's the old-fashioned way of looking at it, is saying, where are you going to be after 10 games? You know, we've got some quite tough game coming up. It's a bit of a mix, but then you could say every game in the Premier League could be quite tough. So it's a wait-and-see for me a little bit. I'm not going to damn him now, but I may be damning him later, depending on what happens.
I think the feeling I'm getting from a lot of fans on these shows and on the Facebook and Twitter groups is they understand that we're going to lose to Arsenal. We've only won one in 32 games at Arsenal's ground in the Premier League. So it wasn't a surprise that we lost, but it's the manner that we're losing. When we went through that Great Escape year, I was travelling 7 hours there and back from my base on the south coast to watch the game, because I had a season ticket then. But every week we were going down fighting. The players were fighting for Pearson, you know. And I just, you know, they're saying we don't see that bite now. But like you say, it's a long season. It's a marathon, not a sprint, and all those other things that they say about football. So we will see. Well, like you say, it is only two games in, so we've got to be a little bit serious here and think about it.
And then of course we've got Stockport to play in the League Cup in a few weeks.
Can you imagine if we lost that? I mean,
the team selection would be interesting for that one.
They say that again, sorry.
The team selection for that will be an interesting one.
It will. I mean, when Iheanacho came on, what a difference he made.
Exactly.
I mean, Vardy was getting nothing. Maybe he should have come back, I don't know. But, you know, Vardy, if you're not going to give him the service, then why is he on the pitch, sort of thing? You know what I mean?
Well, the thing is, with Iheanacho, he comes back towards the ball to collect it, doesn't he? And moves forward with it, yes.
Yeah. So why bring on Daka, who is in exactly the same player as Vardy? Then we've got two players that are isolated up front. As soon as he brought Iheanacho on, the game changed, and he set up Maddison within 5 minutes of coming on.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, we could be here all night just talking about this game, and I'll be slitting my wrists soon, I'll tell you. Brighton and Newcastle, 0-0. Not much to talk about there. Do you think how well do you think Newcastle are going to do this season?
I think they'll do okay. I think from their point of view, they like to think kind of top six, seven, maybe, because they ended last season quite strongly. They've got a good squad. It'd be interesting to see if they do any more business in the window. We know they've been linked with the Leicester player, but we won't mention that. But you know, I think they're quite good, certainly at home, usually. I expect them to do quite well.
Yeah, I mean, I've got them, I think, seventh, to be honest with you. So they've got a good manager there. I mean, I live in just outside Bournemouth. I've seen what Eddie Howe did at this club at Bournemouth when he was down here. A great manager. And talking of Bournemouth, the next game, Man City 4, Bournemouth 0. Bournemouth won, obviously, the first game back up. I'm not impressed with Scott Parker as a manager. So I've got them struggling this season, but again, this was probably a game that they knew they probably, you know,
I think you said nothing. Yeah, I think you said as much afterwards. They didn't expect to win it. They went into it to do the best they could, but Man City were just clearly too good for them. I mean, you know, new striker De Bruyne, goodness me, you know, and he would be the best game. But it's a wait and see on that. I still expect them to stay up there for some reason. Well, maybe I don't.
Well, I say Fulham and Bournemouth. I'm kind of like that with them. But I just, as I say, I just don't know if Scott. I don't think against Scott Parker, but he didn't do it obviously at Fulham before. Now, showing that I know absolutely nothing about football, I've got Leeds United to finish 20th.
Really?
They won last week, and they were 2-0 up against Southampton this week. Southampton, unfortunately, because we got them next, managed to stage a very good fight back and got it to 2-2. But I have got these two clubs as going down. I mean,
well, Leeds have got Bamford back because they missed him a lot last season. I think getting him back was a real bonus for them at the beginning of this campaign. They let it slip, though, didn't they? At 2-0, they should have really held on for the win. Southampton do have resilience. I mean, obviously, we go back to when we hammered them before, and they've almost since then, they've steadily improved. As for them being relegation material, I'm not sure. I think they've got enough to stay up. As for Leeds, I'm a bit on the fence there. I couldn't really say one way or the other. You know, what's important for teams like them is winning their home games, I think.
Yes, yeah. I think with Southampton, for me, I don't want them to go down, because like with Bournemouth, I mean, you know, it's a 10-minute bus and train ride for me, so it's like a home game. So I don't want either of them to actually go down. But it's just Southampton, I just don't know how much further that Houston Haaland, I think he's a good manager, but I just think he's doing one job, the job there with one hand tied behind his back. All his good players he's got to sell. Leeds, I still think Jesse March was a strange appointment for them.
It kind of came out of the blue, that, didn't it, really? But for me, I think it's about if he gets the players to play as he wants them to. And I think having Bamford back, as I say, as a key player for them, was he when... Certainly, when they got promoted and when they came up.
Yeah, no, indeed. Another 0-0 in Wolves and Fulham. I got surprised of the week that Wolves let Connor Cody go.
Well, yes, that was a surprise to me as well. You know, that a couple of players you think you want to hang on to them, but they didn't. It was obviously a good signing for Everton, though, wasn't it?
Yes.
I mean, they'd be pretty happy with that because he's got an organising at the back. Yeah, it was a nothing game. I don't think even saw the highlights of it. Didn't see. I wasn't that interested.
Fair enough. And then we come to maybe our 2-2 wasn't so bad, but I've just got to let's just see what people think about it. Brentford 4, Manchester United 0. I thought Mark Goldbridge was going to give birth on his channel. I mean, they're in a mess, aren't they, Manchester United?
Yeah, I think the manager didn't realise how big a problem it has been, and he's certainly learnt a lot in the first couple of games. They were just dreadful. There was no fight. There was no passion. Brentford went for it. They closed down well. That's for the Man United keeper, I think. I mean, they let one of their keepers go, haven't they, to Forrest. And Dean Henderson will be laughing all the way to the bank in that one, see. But they were just awful. And they are where they should be. What's he going to do in the transfer market? And how much money is he going to get? And what player's going to want to sign for them currently? It's interesting.
This is it. And this is what I've heard. I mean, you know, what we can't take away that what they achieved under Sir Alex Ferguson was amazing. You know, not credit that, they were great. But it kind of left them, I think, with a hot potato. You can't look. We struggled to replace Martin O'Neill for a while, didn't we? You know, when you've got a manager that is God to the fans for you, can you still hear me? Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I've just got my phone on charge because the charge is running down, so I've had to take my headphones out.
That's okay, don't worry. It's hard to replace them, but. They expect, and I suppose the reason is, and it's a credit to Man United that they were successful for so long that people don't remember the pre-Sir Alex days, you know. And I just think they expect too much, and you know, it took Arsenal haven't won a trophy in 18 years. It took 30 years for Liverpool, and I think Manchester United have got to give Ten Hag. You know, time, because it is a massive rebuilding job he's got.
It has been a long-term project, and it continues to be so. But this is one of the biggest clubs in the world, followed by people all over the world. So they've got to try to live up to the reputation they used to have under Sir Alex. But what they do in the transfer market now will be watched very, very closely. But the attitude of the players, maybe. You know, there's talk of some players going already. So we'll wait and see. But it's one to watch very closely, I think, over the next few weeks.
It is. I think it might just keep us off the back pages for a while. But that said, let's not take anything away from Brentford. What a brilliant first half they had.
Yeah, brilliant. Could have been more as well, couldn't it?
Easily could have been more. Scott says here, is it me or can anyone else see a fight amongst Man United players like I believe happened at Newcastle many years ago? I don't know.
Well, you hope that doesn't happen. It's sad when it does, but when things aren't going very well, tempers can rise.
Yes, they can. But well done to Brentford. I love it when these little clubs, and no disrespect because I still talk about Leicester as a little club, but when they come up and they break the mould and they stay up, you know, I'd have loved to have seen Luton come up this term, but unfortunately it was that other little club from Nottingham.
Was it Tony Cotty who scored at Old Trafford for a 1-0 win way back when?
It was, yes, yeah.
And it felt good, didn't it?
Sorry, what?
It felt good at the time.
Oh, it felt very, very good. And no doubt, he's actually coming on the channel. We've got, in November, just before we break up for the World Cup, we play Everton on one Saturday, which is obviously one of his clubs. We play West Ham as the last game before we go away the following Saturday, and we're doing an interview with him on the Wednesday in between. So that could be a very, very interesting week.
I remember talking to him a few times, and obviously then we won a trophy with him in the team. Of course, he kind of lapped that in his career, hadn't he? So
well, he was always really nice to Leicester. He had to come to Leicester to win one, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
I'm sure I'll remind him of that. That's the Saturday games, and we'll be back looking at the two on Sunday straight after this.
Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Come on, you foxes!
Indeed. So, let's have a look at Sunday. Let's bring it up. Of course, there's a match tonight. Kicks off at 8, Liverpool, Crystal Palace. Yeah. Oh, I mean, not only did Leicester lose, and that was bad enough, but I mean, Forest went and won.
The controversial thing for me there was the disallowed goal for West Ham. I thought the players just ran into each other. It was an accidental collision. Yet they gave it as deliberate, so the goal was ruled out. Not sure about that.
I somehow think you see some of these VAR decisions, and it was, you know, the idea of VAR, as I always used to say, if a ref's had a good game, you don't end up talking about him. And it should be the same with VAR. You know, during the Euros, the women's Euros, it was brilliant. There was quick decisions on the whole. Yeah. Obviously, there's occasions always going to be one, and I think it was the Holland-Sweden game or something, but it went on for a long time because, I'll be honest with you, you couldn't. It was really difficult to tell. But generally speaking, they were quick, they got it right, but I don't know what it is with VAR. Whether it's unworkable with football as it stands, I just don't know, but... You know,
well, it's as good as the people running it, isn't it? I guess
it is. It is. I mean, I speak to Julian Watts, another ex-player. You know, and I say they should have ex-players running it because you've got these referees that are all in this club together, and his mate's running VAR. So does his mate want to really say, "No, actually, you got that wrong," you know? But if you've got independent people doing it and ex-footballers that know what they're talking about, but you know,
I thought generally it was quite a good game to watch. The West Ham win it for quite a lot of the game. To be fair, Forest played pretty well. I mean, they've signed a lot of players, they spent a lot of money, piecing them all together, you know, can't have been that easy. I mean, Lingard coming, I think, was a bonus for them. I would have fancied Lingard coming to Leicester, quite frankly. I think he's a good player to have. But, you know, you've got to put your hands up and say, OK, Forest have gone off the mark. It feels bad to say that, because as Leicester fans, we know the rivalry between the two clubs. But, you know, they're off the mark. West Ham would be unlucky not to have any points so far from their two games. But it is what it is.
They've got they're away at Everton next week, Nottingham Forest, so that will be an interesting...
Well, that's a big one, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Do you think, I mean, it hurts me to say it, and I take no pleasure in saying it, but I do think Forest will stay up. I think they've got an excellent manager, and I think he will make the difference.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I just want Leicester to finish above them.
Oh, God, of course, you know. But, I mean, if they finish 16th or 17th, that will do. As long as I say we're above. But it's going to be difficult because he's got a lot of players to bed in. And we saw with Fulham, just going out and buying and buying and buying doesn't guarantee that you're going to stay up. For me, it's always going to be the icing on the cake when it comes to... Man United have just withdrawn the De Jong offer, by the way. So you're wondering what they were going to do in the transfer window. There's one thing they're not going to be doing.
Oh, right.
I don't think he wanted to go anyway.
About for a while, yeah.
Yes, he didn't want to go there, did he? Spurs versus Chelsea, 2-2. A bit of a ding dong, but it's the sort of game you enjoy as a neutral watching.
Yeah, Chelsea, obviously, I think perhaps much the better team over the 90 minutes, weren't they, really? And perhaps deserved all 3 points from it. You know, Tottenham scoring the equaliser in the 6th minute of stoppage time or something, was it?
And they have an incident of doing that, don't they?
There was an incident of hair pulling, which should have been red carded. How they didn't spot that, I don't know. Cucurella in the penalty area. I think Chelsea will feel a bit aggrieved by that. For Tottenham, who don't often win at Chelsea at all, do they? Getting the point for the right bonus for them.
No. And we do know how Scotland can... Scotland. We all know that Tottenham do like the odd late goal now and again, don't we? We've been on the end.
We've been there last season. Yeah, I was there. Yeah.
Oh God, were you? You have my sympathy. You have my sympathy.
Thank you.
96 minutes it was, you know. But as I say, from a neutral's point of view, great games to see. Do you see either of these two challenging, or is it again? Is it going to be a shootout between Man City and Liverpool for the title again?
Yeah, Man City, Liverpool. I think I certainly think Chelsea will be in there. I mean, I did think, having watched them play the first game, Spurs might be in it, but they need to sort maybe a couple of things out. But they're a good side, so I wouldn't be surprised if they're in there challenging in the top six area. But we've seen before that they have a good run, and then later on perhaps they have a dip, which they did when we won the title, if you remember, some years ago. So can they be consistent is the question.
For me, I think this is the best chance they've got of achieving something, because they've got a manager in there who Nuno, we know, was the wrong manager for them.
Sure.
I mean, it was about the 10th choice anyway. It was a case of, you know, who was left that wanted to go there. But when Conte came in, I think he was able to come on in and say, like, you know, you need me more than I need you, so if you want me, this is how we will do things. And I think that is what Daniel Levy's needed, somebody that will stand up to him.
As you say, he puts a good side together. He's used to winning things. He's got them playing quite well. He's got some good players in attack. I think generally speaking, it's a good squad. So I expect them to be there or thereabouts, but can they cross the finish line is always my question.
I don't think they will, no. I mean, I think they will literally... I've got them as third.
Right.
So,
which is not... Which will suit them.
It's their favourite position. And Arsenal fourth, which is, of course, is their favourite position as well. Yeah. John, thank you so much for popping on and doing that. Really enjoy it. Hopefully we'll see you again next week if time allows.
I'll try to remember the time next week.
Yeah, well, I say Louise, it was Louise as well, so don't worry. I just I have a spare pair of underwear always at the side of me, just in case. You know? where can people listen to you these days?
Well, I'm doing Hermitage FM, which is on from 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Fridays for 2 hours. It's also on basically the same place as Carry On Wellbeing Radio. They're both online stations.
Yeah.
And that one's on 10 in the morning, again, Wednesday to Friday.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Check him out there, if you've not listened to John. Great to see you. Thank you very much for coming on. Like I said, I'll send you a watch in the post so you can keep an eye on the time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And we'll see you next week. Take care, John.
Take care. Okay. Cheers.
Thanks very much. All the best. Bye-bye. Thanks to John there for giving up his time. We really do appreciate it. These people, they give the time up. It's their own personal time, and they give it up and come and help us out. We really do appreciate it. Lou had, unfortunately, a lot of internet problems. She was coming and going, and then she was just gone. She couldn't she couldn't get it going again. But we're going to be back at 9 o'clock, and we're going to be talking, yes, Arsenal again. We're going to be talking Mikel Arteta, the game 4-2, but of course the big elephant in the room, Yuri Tillemans. Do Arsenal still want him? What are they messing about at? Stick a check on the table, you could have him, Arsenal. You know, we don't have to sell, we won't blink first, you will. Let's see what Lee Judges from Arsenal Fan TV has to say tonight in just under an hour's time. I will see you then. Thank you for watching. If you've been listening, thank you for listening. As they always used to say on the radio, don't touch that dial. We will be back in an hour's time. Thanks for watching. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye, and see you next time. We'll be right back.
for watching. These videos are tremendous. You better like the duo. I'll be back.
Cool. I'm out of here. Ooh, that's a wrap.
So, people are up.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.